I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the story of Raz Simone, the self-professed warlord of chop, is a study in the danger of progressive politics. Plus, Starbucks makes a major announcement about an expansion to Tennessee. And our press freedom case against the state of Washington is heading to federal court. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. At the last minute, totally switched up what we're going to start the show with today. I was going to start by talking about taxes. We'll get to that. But the more I read this story, it was going to be buried later in the show, but the more I read it, the more I thought about it, the more it just ticked me off. And the more I realized that this single story, this single person, this single issue encompasses everything that's wrong with progressive politics in places like Seattle, in states like Washington, where it's virtue signaling for at any cost, even the cost of human life, virtue signaling comes before it, where it's a total disregard for your money, total disregard for taxpayer money, for waste, fraud, and abuse. It's all bottled up in this one single story. So you will, of course, remember Chaz Chop, the autonomous zone in Seattle that popped up during the Summer of Love in 2020, where violent rioters took over six square blocks of the city. And you'll remember a man named Raz Simone.
Somebody over there, is 18, know how to use a gun? 18.
No, just come right back in.
Hell nah, Raz.
Hey, I got you, just don't say any names. You're getting into a shootout and you're trying to just take cover, make sure you get the rear wheel of the car, get where the tires are at.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's central, but that's not as, you know,
obvious. Engine block and tires.
Yeah, that's Raz Simone, the warlord of chop, handing out rifles out of the trunk of a car to random people who he then assigned as security guards for chop, that patrolled chop with rifles. And remember, security guards in CHOP eventually shot two teenagers, killing one of them, a case that has never been solved. So that's Raz Simone. Well, Raz Simone is back in the news today. Here's the headline from the Seattle Times. Raz Simone verdict in Seattle, women awarded $2.1 million in criminal profiteering case. So you might recall shortly after Raz Simone was in headlines over CHOP, women started to come forward accusing him of being a violent, vile sex trafficker. And of course, that didn't change how the media covered him at the time, but these women came forward, made their accusations since Raz Simone was all over the news locally, nationally, internationally. They ended up filing a civil case against him. Here's what the Seattle Times says about that case and the outcome. It says a King County jury has found Seattle hip hop artist Solomon Raz Simone liable for criminal profiteering, awarding four women $2.1 million in a civil case. The verdict was issued Friday following a month-long trial, but it has been nearly 5 years since the civil complaint was first filed, alleging Simone had groomed, trafficked, and sexually assaulted multiple women across several states over the previous decade. The women said Simone forced them to engage in sex work while collecting their earnings with a daily quota and kept them in a tight system of isolation and control, from dictating their clothes and eating at times to confining them for days in narrow sleeping pods in Seattle. So Raz Simone is now liable for $2.1 million, accused of profiting off of the suffering of these women, essentially being accused of sex trafficking them and doing the most vile things to them and forcing them to do the most vile things and then taking money from them. So the Seattle Times does this big, long article today about this jury verdict against Raz Simone. And I start reading it, and I keep 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 waiting for them to mention that Raz Simone was the warlord of CHOP. And I keep reading it, and I keep reading it, and buried down near the bottom is this tiny little sentence. Simone is a Seattle musician and was a prominent figure in the Capitol Hill organized protest known as CHOP during the racial protests in the summer of 2020. That's it. In this whole thing, tiny little mention, they call him protests, wasn't protests, deadly riots. And they say he was a prominent figure He was the self-professed warlord of CHOP. And for the individuals who took over CHOP, he was the key negotiator who negotiated directly with the city, negotiated directly with the police department and the fire department. He was a prominent figure. So they bury that. And we'll talk more about why they bury that in a moment. But the Seattle Times had an interesting detail in here. It says an investigation by the Times and KUOW in 2022 revealed that Seattle police had been aware of serious allegations against Simone and his music label, Black Umbrella, for years. The news organizations found that allegations of trafficking, assault, and rape had been reported to the Seattle Police Department since 2017, with at least 8 people, 6 women and the parents of 2 others, alleging Simone entangled women in a multi-state sex trafficking scheme with crimes dating back to at least 2012. So the Seattle Times is acknowledging here, and it says based on its own investigation it did with KUOW back in 2022, as these women's, you know, CHOP was over, the women's allegations, you know, they came forward, they filed a civil case, and they just became too loud to ignore. And so back in 2022, Seattle Times, KUOW, they had done this reporting that found that these allegations about Raz Simone, very serious allegations, the Seattle Police Department, the city of Seattle was aware of them dating back to 2017. Yet you'll remember if you got your news from anyone who was even slightly balanced back during CHOP, that it came out that in 2019, Raz Simone and his record label, Black Umbrella, got an $83,000 grant from the city of Seattle's Office of Arts and Culture. $83,000 toward the construction of a recording studio on the second floor of the building housing Black Umbrella will expand its programming capacity to include vocal, instrumental, and sound engineering opportunities, increasing Black Umbrella's ability to fulfill its mission of fostering the growth and development of artists, providing a resourced community, and driving force in the creation of supportive, inclusive, and nationally vindicated hip-hop scene in Seattle. Additionally, Black Umbrella plans to host weekly drop-in studio hours free for educational use and discounted rates for people within the community. At the time, Raz Simone posted about this on his Facebook, saying how grateful he was. I was just awarded a grant from the city for $83,000 to supplement the building of a recording studio in the building I bought a couple years ago, Black Umbrella headquarters. And at the time that they gave Raz Simone this grant, this was the album he had out. Raz Simone, that N-word. With a big stack of cash, shirtless, a big old gun slung over his shoulder. And the city of Seattle gave that guy $83,000 in 2019 toward the creation of a supportive, inclusive, and nationally vindicated space to highlight Seattle's hip-hop scene. So just so you're understanding the timeline here, in 2017, 6 women and 2 parents of young girls came forward to accuse Raz Simone of running a sex trafficking ring. The Seattle Police Department was very aware that Raz Simone was accused of these things and was actively trying to build a case against him, as was the FBI. But the city of Seattle in 2019 still gave him $83,000 specifically toward Black Umbrella, his record label, that was being implicated in the sex trafficking. 6 months later, Raz Simone is the head of CHOP, the takeover of 6 square blocks of Seattle. And he is putting out videos of himself handing out semi-automatic rifles to other rioters. And he was doing all of this very publicly after having just been given an $80,000 grant from the city of Seattle, despite knowing that the Seattle Police Department was looking at him for potential allegations of sex trafficking. And that wasn't it. All of that, go back to that Seattle Times headline, the image they used today. You see that image of Raz Simone? Without even reading the caption, I knew what that image was from. Do you see the person in the foreground who's blurred? That's former Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin. Read the caption. It tells you what this picture is. Solomon Raz Simone, a prominent figure in the Capitol Hill organized protest, addresses Seattle's mayor and police chief during a meeting in the summer of 2020. This was a guy who not only got money from the city, despite this raunchy, violent record label and allegations that the city knew about that he was a sex trafficker, but he was given a literal seat at the table in the summer of 2020. They negotiated with him. They tried to negotiate the end of CHOP with Raz Simone, despite videos of him out there handing out rifles out of the trunk of his car. Can you play that video again, Nicole? I want you to listen carefully to what he's telling these teenagers that he's handing guns to.
Somebody over the age of 18 know how to use a gun?
18.
No, just come right back here.
Hell no, man.
Hey, I got you. Just don't say any names. Get into a shootout and you're trying to just take cover. Basically, get the rear wheel of the car. Get where the tires are at.
Yeah.
And sometimes the center, but that's not as, you know.
Engine block and tires.
Telling these teenagers he just met, that he just handed a gun to, don't even know who they are, don't know their background, don't know if they're legally able to have a firearm or not. Telling them what to do in the case that they get in a shootout. In CHOP. Oh, hide behind the engine block, hide behind the tires. Again, I feel compelled to mention that these self-proclaimed security guards in CHOP, given guns by Raz Simone, did get into a shootout with two teenagers who were just driving near the area, and they didn't like it, so they opened fire, a hail of bullets into a windshield of a car driven by these two teenagers. One of them died. Case has never been solved. That's the guy who got taxpayer money from the city of Seattle. That's the guy who got a seat at the table to lead the negotiations for the end of CHOP, to bring the autonomous zone to an end. And now the media in the Seattle Times in this story this morning wants to talk about and laud, oh, well, you know, this jury verdict comes in 2026, but we've been investigating these allegations since 2022. Yet they want to take no accountability for the fact that when CHOP was happening, that led to multiple deaths there, a situation that led to jury findings against the city of Seattle and the taxpayers of the city of Seattle to the tune of tens of millions of dollars for the violent environment that it was allowed to fester. Then now these media outlets want to say, oh, Raz Simone, he's such a bad guy. We've been investigating him since 2022. But what were you doing when he was leading the takeover of six blocks of the city in 2020? You weren't digging into Raz Simone's background. You were too busy downplaying CHOP. Look at KUOW, stories that KUOW was printing in 2020 when they knew, when the allegations about who Raz Simone was, the guy that was leading it. Oh, no. Oh, we're just doing stories on it looks like a farmer's market, doing stories on the vegetable garden that they'd planted in the middle of CHOP in a public park, doing studies about the mural that they're painting. Here was KUOW in 2020 downplaying the seriousness of CHOP. Of course, weren't talking about the guy who was handing out guns out of the trunk of his car, who the Seattle Police Department knew 2.5 years before that was being accused of sex trafficking. The Seattle Times know better. Throughout all of CHOP, the whole summer of love, what did the Seattle Times do? Downplayed it. I mean, they were downplaying it up to 2024. Remember them doing a fact check on Donald Trump? Trump falsely claims CHOP protesters took over a big part of Seattle. Oh, we got to fact check Trump on that. When we spent years downplaying how serious CHOP was, and now all of a sudden in 2026, the Seattle Times wants to talk and do a story about how evil the warlord of CHOP actually was. And they've doing all this coverage lately of all these lawsuits against the city of Seattle for all the violence that happened in CHOP. You're just as complicit. The Seattle Times, KUOW, all these news organizations are just as complicit in what happened at CHOP, in the violence, in the deaths, in the lawsuits that followed, because you downplayed it and made it seem like, oh, it's just a farmer's market, summer of love. Speaking of hypocrisy, again, that video of Raz Simone, and I, at the time, I was at Fox 13. I was a mainstream reporter covering CHOP. You'll remember my crew was mobbed at CHOP the day that it formed. I remember seeing the video of Raz Simone on a live stream out there patrolling the street with a semi-automatic rifle, handing them out to anybody 18 out of the trunk of his car. I remember covering it. I covered it. But so many news stations ignored it. You know who else ignored it? The then Attorney General, Bob Ferguson. And I remember calling him out for ignoring it at the time, because what was he doing simultaneously to that? he was trying to ban the very type of firearms that Raz Simone was handing to teenagers out of the trunk of his car. He'd been trying to do it for years and years and years. Since 2018, every year as Attorney General, he was introducing legislation to try to ban so-called military-style assault weapons. But then when you got a guy on camera in the summer of 2020 with a trunk full of them, handing them out to teenagers who he didn't know anything about, glorifying them on his record labels, Raz Simone, that N-word, Bob Ferguson had nothing to say because he didn't want you to have semi-automatic rifles. He didn't want you to have these so-called military-style assault weapons. But if Raz Simone has them, if Raz Simone hands them out to people who use them to kill black teenagers, that's just fine. Hypocrisy overfloweth. Can you think of a story and a narrative and a storyline that sums up everything wrong with Seattle and Washington politics more than the Raz Simone storyline? Gifted public funds because he's a black guy who raps, $83,000 to build a studio. You don't think we would have loved $83,000 to build our studio? No, we paid for that out of our own pockets. But because Raz Simone is black, it doesn't matter if his record label puts out an album with him with a big gun slung over his shoulder and a big stack full of cash with that N-word on it. Oh no, you're black. Oh, this is for black excellence. Take $83,000. 6 months later, he's the warlord of CHOP, using his guns to take over 6 blocks of the city. The city doesn't condemn him. The Attorney General doesn't condemn him. No, what do? They celebrate him. They invite him to City Hall for a round table with the mayor and the police chief. And they, please end CHOP. You know, maybe we could give you a building. Maybe we could give you more money. All the while, the Seattle Police Department knows that he's an accused sex trafficker. That he's accused of doing horrible things to young women and profiting off of it. And they gave him the money anyway. They invited him to City Hall anyway. They gave him an audience with the police chief anyway. And the media knew about it the whole time and they didn't say jack. All because he's a black rapper and this is a racial justice movement. So screw the victims of sex trafficking. Screw the taxpayers. We love Raz Simone. Nothing sums up the environment that drove me into the arms of voting for President Donald Trump better than that story. And the media is just as complicit as the politicians. Absolutely unreal. Raz Simone, if he ever pays that lawsuit out, $2.1 million, how much of it do you think is money he got from the taxpayers, the citizens of Seattle and Washington State? Crazy. All right, speaking of tax money, we'll talk about Bob Ferguson suggesting that the so-called millionaires tax might have to wait till next year. Don't believe that for a second. We'll have that coming up next. First, could the future of AI impact your retirement? Are you overwhelmed with all the noise around AI, crypto, tech, and you just want to kind of check in on the health of your retirement portfolio? You can join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar April 2nd at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Zach does about four of these a year, like one a quarter. So he's having one April 2nd, totally free to sign up and to attend. And Bulwark Capital has a full schedule to help you cut through the market noise, AI, crypto, tech, and the real fundamentals of value investing. They'll give you a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Cutting Through Market Noise webinar April 2nd at 3:30 p.m. Pacific. It's totally free. Register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, in least surprising news of the day, huge announcement out of Tennessee, with that state's governor bragging in a press release that Starbucks has selected Tennessee for a Southeast corporate office. Oh, that's not so bad, right? Oh, it's just their Southeast corporate office. I'm sure the corporate office in Seattle won't get any smaller or go away. Here's what Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee said. Companies across the nation recognize that Tennessee's strong values and fiscally conservative approach are good for business, and we are proud to welcome another Fortune 500 company like Starbucks to our state. In the press release, Starbucks Mike Grams said, looking ahead, Starbucks has great ambitions to grow even further across North America. With these growth plans, we see Nashville, Tennessee as an ideal location to open an office and establish a more strategic presence in the Southeast region of the United States. The writing is on the wall, you guys. Not a surprise at all. No company needs two headquarters. No company needs two HQs. This is going to lead to people from the HQ in Seattle relocating to Tennessee. I've already heard rumors that they're being told they'll be given a choice. They can work in Seattle. They can work in Tennessee. So many, one of the top states that people in Washington are moving to, that families in Washington are moving to, Tennessee. And now Starbucks is opening an HQ in Tennessee. That's not a coincidence. It's because it's a better place to live for a family. It's less expensive, so it's more affordable. The tax climate is much better. And so now you see the businesses starting to mimic the flow of people out of Washington State, going to places like Texas, Florida, Tennessee. Our companies are going to places like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, even Idaho and Montana. This is about moving Starbucks HQ. And why wouldn't they? Look at everything that's happened in just the couple, I mean, we could go back years, right? To the head tax, to targeting them with the jumpstart tax, trying to punish companies like Starbucks that have made Seattle what it is and so economically resilient. But now we have a socialist mayor in Katie Wilson. What is one of the very first things she did after she was elected mayor? She went down to protest Starbucks.
I'm proud to say, loud and clear, I am not buying Starbucks and you should not either. And I would like to close with a message to Starbucks. This is your hometown and mine. Seattle's making some changes right now. And I urge you to do the right thing. Because in Seattle, when workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? When workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? When workers' rights are under attack, what do we do?
Days after being elected, the mayor of Seattle, in the hometown of Seattle, she says, I'm not going to buy Starbucks and you shouldn't either. She's going to be the mayor for 4 years. No surprise. No surprise. That's the nail in the coffin. And then what did she say once she was sworn in? Oh, well, you know, we don't tax businesses like Starbucks enough.
We will need to pursue new progressive revenue in order to fund our priorities and make sure that we're delivering services to the people of Seattle. There's several progressive tax options I proposed as part of my platform. And so we're going to have city staff looking into developing those into legislation. Don't know yet exactly what the timeline's going to be on that.
Yeah, but they know what new progressive revenue is. Oh, tax the rich. Make the rich pay their fair share. Whenever Seattle's got its little grubby hands in anything, it's always going after Amazon and Starbucks. And they just haven't learned their lesson yet. When they passed the jumpstart tax, what did Amazon do? Amazon started moving jobs over to Bellevue. And Amazon told them they would do that. And Starbucks was pushing back against it, didn't get their way. Jumpstart tax passed. Now you got a mayor, protest Starbucks, big evil company, horrible stuff. And now we need even more progressive revenue. And on top of that, you have city leaders, including Katie Wilson now, who don't seem to prioritize and understand the impact that the homeless crisis and the crime crisis is having on businesses like Starbucks. I mean, how many Bartell Drugs and other pharmacies ended up closing in downtown Seattle because they just couldn't keep up with how much stuff was being stolen? In the last year alone, how many headlines have we had about Starbucks closing Seattle stores? Starbucks closes two Seattle stores amid restructuring and layoffs. Starbucks suddenly closes its fancy reserve in Seattle. Another West Seattle Starbucks closes. Starbucks closes 31 stores in Washington. Starbucks lays off in Seattle and Kent. Layoffs total 974. Like, how many more pieces of the puzzle do Democrats in our state need to see fall into place before they realize that we're heading toward economic ruin? Because I can keep giving you some. How about this one? A bunch of AI innovators wrote a letter to the governor of Washington State saying that this income tax proposal they're pushing through will absolutely ruin the future of AI innovation here. In the letter, it was a whole group of them. They urged the governor to pause work on the so-called millionaires tax, saying, quote, these policies would materially undermine Washington's ability to keep growing the tech sector, which is a core driver of our economy, and would slow the AI innovation and investment momentum that we should be accelerating, not discouraging. It says the group frames the issue as an AI competitiveness problem, writing that Washington is, quote, competing for the talent required to build and scale AI products, companies, and jobs, but is starting to lose momentum. AI is at a critical moment, and a hasty decision now would do serious damage to the future of Washington's innovation economy. So these are the builders, the movers, the shakers who want to come here and grow a business, who want to come here and invest in our economy, who want to come here and provide high-paying jobs. And they're telling the governor, don't pass the income tax on millionaires because we're not going to come there. We're not going to build a business there. We're not going to spend money there. We're not going to contribute to the economy. And if we're already here, then we're going to leave, like Amazon. This story just out from Puget Sound Business Journal. Amazon pushes to significantly reduce vacant office space this year. Amazon real estate team plans to cut 49,000 desks company-wide this year in an effort to reduce its unused office space. Why do they have unused office space in Seattle? Because they started moving jobs. They did it when the jumpstart tax came in. So now they already know that they're not going to refill that. They're not growing in Seattle. They're not growing in Seattle. So every time they have an office and a lease that comes up for renewal, they're canceling it. What is Seattle's occupancy rate for business, for office space right now? There's like a 33%, I think is the last figure I checked, vacancy rate. And it's getting worse by the day. You go to Seattle, you want office space, dirt cheap. We could have got, instead of on the east side where we do the show out of, we could have got an office space in Seattle for a third of the price. For a small business like ours that's just growing, that's a pretty good deal. I'm talking like $17 a square foot. But all the negatives about Seattle far outweigh the cost savings on an office space. I mean, that would have to be $10 a square foot for us to even consider doing our show out of Seattle. So, I mean, this isn't made up. All of this is happening. It's happening right now. And I've always said, when the business leaves, the business isn't coming back. They're not coming back. When you take your infrastructure and your employees and you move them across the country, you're not going to a couple years later and say, oh, we got a better governor now, or, you know, things are changing a little bit in Washington. Let's try it out again. No, it's just done. It's just going to be done. So Amazon downsizing, Starbucks moving some of its HQ operations to Tennessee, AI innovators warning the governor, don't do this because it's going to be bad for AI at a time when you should be investing in building AI and attracting innovators to your state. That on top of all the other businesses that we see closing. Washington State has one of the highest rates in the country of taxpayers leaving per minute. And they want to double, triple down on bad policy and pass an income tax this session. Or do they? This is an interesting article from the State Standard. Headline, Washington Governor, passage of income tax could slip to 2027. It says, Ferguson, in an email to supporters, said he is hopeful an agreement can be reached by the end of the session on March 12th. Quote, I am committed to making sure we get this right, even if that means coming back next year to finish the bill in a longer session, he wrote in an email to political donors and supporters. To that, Senate Majority Leader Jamie Peterson, a Democrat from Seattle, responded, I think we'll get there. I'm not worried. He's been very consistently saying that what he needs to sign the bill, it's just a negotiation. And last Tuesday, the chair of the House Finance Committee said the bill has a strong path forward. So we've been playing with this little, like, duck, duck, goose, push and pull thing for a while now. They all want the millionaire's tax. It's an income tax, of course. They all want an income tax. A lot of these politicians are on the record for years saying they want an income tax because it's the only way, they say, to make our tax system less regressive. So it's I just feel the need to say it every time. It's a millionaire's tax today. It's an income tax on everyone tomorrow. So they've all been set on it. And now Bob Ferguson is suddenly saying with, what, a week and a half left in the session that it might not make it this year and they might have to revisit it next year. Do not believe that for a second. I see all these conservatives on social media suggesting and celebrating like, oh my gosh, keep pushing. This thing might be dead. I would bet all of you a steak dinner. But if I were to lose, I don't think I have the money to buy all of you a steak dinner. But Bob did this exact same thing last year. Just last year, like just a year ago. Remember, he came out, he said, we're gonna really take a tough look at the budget. We'll do what we knew. And I said at the beginning, He's going to talk tough. And then when all is said and done, he'll pass the largest tax increase in state history. And then he came a month into the session. Oh, he said, oh, legislators want $20 billion in new taxes. That's unacceptable. I told them I sent them back to the drawing board. And I said, he's just playing tough. They'll meet somewhere in the middle. And he came back, oh, $14 billion in new taxes. That's just fine. He doesn't want it. He wants to limit personal liability. He wants to appear reasonable. He wants to appear like he's the adult in the room. But the bad news is there are no adults in the room. There are no adults in the room. So Bob's going to play tough. So he can say, oh, I tried to get as many tax breaks as possible. I really fought for you. And then at the end of the day, he is still going to sign an income tax, which is signing the death of our state in a way that it will not be able to recover from. So by all means, keep emailing Bob Ferguson, keep emailing legislative Democrats. If you're a business owner, especially, and this would force you out of the state, keep telling them as much. Let's keep pushing back, but don't be fooled. Don't be fooled that he's using the same tactic he used last year to try to make people believe he's a reasonable man. No, he wants this tax. He's going to pass this tax. It is going to happen this session. Mark my word. All right. Coming up next, we have quite the interesting turn of events in our press freedom lawsuit against the state of Washington. On its face, it sounds like a good thing, but I think it's strategic, and I think it's actually going to be a bad thing, and it's quite disturbing, to be honest. But first, March, of course, is the start of spring. If you can't hear, do you hear this? If you listen very closely, you can hear the rain pounding down on our roof right now. I don't know if I've ever heard it so loud. And these mics are good, but I don't know if they can drown that out at all. So yes, March is the start of spring. So our outdoor to-do list, if you're like my family, it's already growing. I have a million things I want to accomplish outside. Fortunately, Valentine Roofing has my back and yours when it comes to checking off those exterior maintenance jobs. And with Valentine's huge March promotion, they're not only going to take care of you this year, they have next year covered too. So this month only, get a free year of roof maintenance when you purchase a new roof. I think that's awesome. Free year of roof maintenance when you purchase a new roof. So you get your new roof this year. Next year, the maintenance is on them. Then enjoy seasonal checkups and professional care to keep your roof looking its best, plus flexible financing with payments as low as $159 a month and the Valentine experience guaranteed with every project. So reach out to Valentine for a free estimate on a new roof. So if you're thinking like you need a new roof soon, this is a great time because then you get a free year of maintenance. I think that's awesome. So reach out to Valentine for an estimate, 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Make sure to tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. All right. So as you guys know, we have a press freedom lawsuit right now against the state of Washington. Me, Jonathan Cho, Ori Hoffman, we were all denied press passes by the Washington State House of Representatives, which is very strange because the Senate allows me a press pass. The governor allows me into his press conferences. But House Speaker Lori Jenkins is so thin-skinned, she just could not tolerate possibly to see me on the floor of the House at the press table or in the wings of the House on the Democratic side. So they have stood their ground, say we're not giving any of these three a press pass to cover the House while we're in session on the floor in Olympia. So a little bit of background before I get to this update. We filed this several weeks ago because it's a short session. It's done on March 12th, which is next Thursday. And so there's an urgency here, right? Where we're fighting for this, but the session's done on March 12th, and then what happens from there? We can keep fighting for next session, but that's quite a long ways away. So we filed this several weeks ago, and we wait, and we wait, and we don't get assigned a judge in Superior Court. We don't get assigned a case number. And our attorneys with the Citizen Action Defense Fund said, this is very odd. We might have to start making a public ordeal about the fact that we haven't even been given a case number or a judge yet. And then finally, we get one. So we're gearing up this Friday, and we're supposed to be heading to court on Friday for this sort of emergency hearing where they can decide whether to block the House of Representatives' decision not to give us a press pass. And then we get news yesterday that the state of Washington has requested that this not be heard by a state court, but that this case be heard by a federal court, which starts this process all over again. And look, the argument the state of Washington is making is that this is a constitutional issue. And I agree. I have no issue, really, with it being heard by a federal judge. But we waited all this time. Delay, delay, delay. Okay, finally you're going to have a court date. And they're like, you know what? Actually, we demand that this be sent to federal court. And so now it starts us all over again. So now this case is going to be heard by a federal judge in Tacoma, a Biden appointee, which I really believe this is a very easy First Amendment case. Whether it's a Biden judge or a Trump judge or an Obama judge or whatever it is, I don't think it matters because I think it's so cut and dry. But the Citizen Action Defense Fund has now, after hearing that this is going to go to federal court, filed a restraining order in federal court, which is basically an emergency appeal to the court. Hear this and hear it now. So we can get, at least until the end of the session, some sort of emergency restraining order so they have to relinquish the credentials. And then if we want to have a long, drawn-out, protracted battle in the off session, we can do that. So I want to read what the Citizen Action Defense Fund, who's representing us in this matter, said. It said, the Citizen Action Defense Fund has filed an emergency temporary restraining order on behalf of plaintiffs Ari Hoffman, Brandi Cruz, and Jonathan Cho in their lawsuit against the legislature. The order seeks to have a federal court grant each of them press credentials after the legislature denied them access, a violation of both the state and federal constitutions. The filing of the TRO follows a flurry of activity in the case in the days leading up to the scheduled and now canceled hearing in Thurston County Superior Court. On Monday, March 2nd, a mere 4 days before the hearing, defendants removed the case to a federal court in Tacoma in the Western District of Washington, which had the effect of canceling the hearing on the motion that was pending in state court. As a result, a federal judge will now decide whether the press passes will be granted on an emergency basis in the final days of the session. They then go on to lay out our arguments. The complaint is clear. The legislature's credentialing scheme improperly delegates authority to a private entity, the Capitol Correspondents Association, without clear standards of procedural safeguards and allows viewpoint-based exclusion of journalists. Defendants relied on unpublished, vague, and inconsistently applied criteria, informed in part by recommendations from the Washington State Capitol Correspondents Association, in denying access to the House floor. The complaint asserts violations of the First Amendment of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 5 of the Washington Constitution, state and federal due process protections, and Washington's non-delegation doctrine, which means basically government entities can't delegate these sorts of responsibilities to a private entity, as they appear to be doing in this case. So at this point, I find it very unlikely, unless this takes place at record pace, that even though I believe I don't see how a federal judge rules against the First Amendment. It's just so cut and dry. The politicians cannot be in the business of deciding who the media is and who the media is not. And I'm actually surprised that they want that authority. But it seems increasingly unlikely that we're going to be able to get this issue settled within the legislative session. It doesn't mean we stop fighting it, but it does mean that the Washington State Democrats will have been successful in, for another session, keeping us out of having full access. Jackson Maynard, who's our attorney with the Citizen Action Defense Fund, released this statement: freedom of the press is not subject to unpublished standards or private gatekeeping. The Constitution requires transparency, viewpoint neutrality, and due process. So we will see what happens here. And also keep in mind that the state of Washington has bypassed the Attorney General's office and hired an outside pricey Seattle law firm to do their dirty work on this. So it would have already cost you money for the state to fight it, but now it's going to cost you even more money, and your taxpayer money is being used to trample on press freedom in the state of Washington. And to make matters even worse than that, the mainstream news is on the politician's side of it, not on our side of it. Just tells you everything you need to know. All right, let's do a quick edition of our segment, Unbelievable. Wow, rare instance where some left-wing extremists in Seattle face consequences, potentially. So you'll recall when Hamas supporters stormed the engineering building at the University of Washington and took it over. Some video from our friend Jonathan Cho, lighting fires outside, occupying the inside of it, took over the engineering building, brand new, beautiful building. Let's look at some of the damage inside. Yeah, it's just insane. Oh, this is fine. Look at the lack of cops. Normal, totally normal. No, not a cop to be seen. But the damage inside was what was more severe. They did about $1 million in damage to the building and some very high-priced equipment in the building. So up to this point, nobody's been held accountable for it. However, the King County prosecutors have now charged a bunch of people with not the crime I would want them charged with, but with misdemeanor criminal trespassing. They've charged 33 people affiliated, we think, with Antifa, with the siege of the engineering building. Now, here's what they're not being charged with, and I think this is pretty disappointing. They're not being charged with any of the damage. And look at this. Who's who? Every single one of them I could have picked out of the crowd as an Antifa rioter. 33 of them. Not charged with any of the damage. Why? Because I think the argument that they're making is we can't prove who did the damage. Does it matter? I mean, if somebody kills someone and I'm present, I'm guilty of murder too. You all took over the building as a group. And then you left and all the damage was done. You should be charged as a group with the damage, or at least forced to pay restitution as a group. And you can figure out amongst the 33 of you how you're going to divvy that $1 million up. But I'm at least happy that they're charged with something, and more happy that their faces are being put out there and their names are being put out there to be publicly shamed. Because I think if you had this happen every single time, where you had arrests, where you had charges, where you had prosecution, and you had all their faces put out there and their names put out there on the news and maybe some sort of database to keep track of the left-wing radical extremists, I think we would see a lot less of this sort of behavior. Some of them are diehard. Some of them will still do it. But I think for a lot of them, having their picture out there, because these are people that love to hide their faces, love to wear masks, there's a reason. They don't want to be associated with their criminal conduct. And so I think if we had even more of these, even if it's just a misdemeanor criminal trespass case, I think it could really put a dent in the left-wing violent extremism that we see in Washington state. All right, we'll get to a little bit of national news. Probably tick through it pretty quick. Coming up next, first, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. And this is, I mean, to me, it's also just like a social club as well. They have so many events across the state to learn about the latest policies impacting housing providers in the state of Washington, a great place to meet and greet and get to know people who are in the same business as you. And then all year long, RHA is working with local governments, county governments, state legislators to try to push back on some of these bad policies that are making it more difficult by the day to be a landlord in Washington state. So sign up for RHA to be a member, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. It's about $260 a year, which I think is a pretty good deal. And they are Washington's trusted resource empowering housing providers. So it's also about helping you as an individual navigate all the different rules and regulations. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right. Poor Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett lost the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate race in Texas. So they do it there based on political parties. So they've got the Republican primary and the Democratic primary. And so this James Tallarico has bested her 52% of the vote. She got 46% of the vote. Is it sad? I feel bad for Jasmine. She got screwed over by her own party. We'll talk more about that in a second. But John Cornyn is narrowly besting Ken Paxton. But man, it's possible that Ken Paxton comes back from that. So they haven't called the Republican primary yet. They're going to a runoff because it's just too close. So it's going to be James Tallarico versus someone. So, of course, James Tallarico was at the center of that totally manufactured outrage where he went on the late night show and, oh, Trump's FCC won't let us air this interview. This is the interview Trump's FCC doesn't want you to see, when it had nothing to do with that. CBS had put the pause on it because of the equal time doctrine. And it basically said, no, you can air it, but you have to do an interview with Jasmine Crockett as well. And they didn't, because this was about manufacturing a false controversy, because the Democrats didn't want crazy Jasmine Crockett to be their U.S. Senate nominee in a state like Texas. And so this is her own party screwing her over, not the Republican Party, not President Trump. I'm sure President Trump would have loved Jasmine Crockett to have a big, long interview on a late night show. And I'm sure Republicans, frankly, would have loved Jasmine Crockett to be the Democrat nominee, because she would have been way easier to beat. So she, of course, because Democrats are election deniers after all, she says she lost because of cheating.
Unfortunately, This is what Republicans like to do.
Oh, yeah. Republicans cheated. Got it.
And so they specifically targeted Dallas County. And I think we all know why.
No, we don't. What? Why? No, Republicans wanted you to win. Republicans wanted you to win. Because you do the things you do and you say the things you say. And it would have been very hard for you to win in Texas. If anyone cheated, it was your own party. If anyone cheated, it was James Tallarico and the Democrats who manipulated the news media, not hard to do, with the whole, oh, the FCC won't let us air this. But she did come out, give a little more graceful statement on social media. She said, this morning I called James and congratulated him on becoming the Senate nominee. Texas is primed to turn blue and we must remain united because this is bigger than any one person. This is about the future of all 30 million Texans and getting America back on track. With the primary behind us, Democrats must rally around our nominee and win. I'm committed to doing my part and will continue working to elect Democrats up and down the ballot. So let's hear from the person she's committed to rallying behind.
Our southern border should be like our front porch. There should be a giant welcome mat out front.
Great. I'm sure that message will go over swimmingly in Texas. Really great stuff. So maybe he's just as bad as Jasmine. He also talks a lot about transgender rights, but not the human rights, which we all agree with, but the special treatment, not equal rights, special treatment stuff. So there's a ton of video that's just going to be gems for Republicans. But Jasmine Crockett, a couple months ago, people were saying she could be the presidential nominee for the Democrats. Now she can't even win a primary for United States Senate in the Democratic Party in Texas. So sorry, Jasmine. I do feel bad for her, though. I think her own party really did her dirty. All right, let's do this story out of Oregon quick. Speaking of landlords, this from the Oregonian. Oregon landlords would face a penalty for leaking immigration status of tenants. Oh, no. Oregon tenants whose landlords leak confidential information, such as their immigration status or medical records, okay, could soon have a pathway to collect up to twice their monthly rent as a form of recourse. Under House Bill 4123, passed by the Oregon Senate on Monday, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle moved to strengthen existing protections for immigrants without permanent legal status that the legislature enacted last year. The bill now heads to the governor's desk for final consideration. Why would a landlord have your medical records? Why would a landlord have your medical records? In what circumstance? I spent many years as a renter. Nicole, can you ever think of a reason why you would have had to provide your medical records to your landlord?
I cannot.
I mean, gosh, maybe if you had some sort of like disability that like gave you some sort of requirement.
There you go. Maybe like it got you your emotional support animal.
Emotional support animal. But what would the feds do with that info? You know, hey, I got a person here. They're brown and they have an emotional support animal. Come get them. It's like, okay, I generally agree with the notion that any sort of private information that you give in some sort of contractual agreement like that, there's no reason for it to go to a third party unless you've signed an agreement to send it to a third party. But just this idea, it's this whole like solution in search of a problem. Solution in search of a problem. Show me a couple examples where this is a widespread issue where landlords are sharing personal medical information with federal authorities. Very
now
strange.
Now they've done something, right? Now they can say, oh, look what we did.
Look what we did. Immigrants. We're helping the immigrants. We're helping them. Sorry, guys. I didn't have a daily show poll. I was getting the Raz Simone story ready, and I went down a rabbit hole with it, and I didn't get to a show poll. I apologize. I owe you. We'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. We've been experiencing the housing market a little bit of a lock-in. People don't want to give up their COVID-era rates, which I totally understand. They're like, I'm going to die in this house. But that's cooling off. Interest rates are now at the lowest point in 3 years, and mortgage applications have spiked dramatically. And they have a renewal in the multiple offer situation scenario. Those are becoming more common due to increased buyer activity. Good listings are selling, and the market needs inventory. So if you're thinking about selling your home, now is shaping up this spring to be a pretty good time. Reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team do a couple things that I think really improve the outcomes for their clients. They do pre-listing inspections. So you kind of get out of the way all the issues that might pop up during the actual inspection, pre-inspection process, as opposed to at the tail end and you're stressed and things fall apart or whatever it is. And they also, of course, have their listing boost concierge service. So once the pre-listing inspection is done, you identify some things, they can come in with the listing boost concierge service and they can fix those things. You don't even have to pay for it till closing. So I think that takes a lot of stress out of the process. So sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, some comments from the live stream. Seems like I'm going fast today. We have to get out on time today. So I'm like looking at a 1 o'clock finish. Did anybody say anything about my hair in the live stream? I straightened it today. No? Does it not look straightened? Not that
I've seen, but I'll look around.
Yeah, come on, guys. I straightened my hair today.
There's still a little wave, so...
Anyway, on the Times ignoring some key facts in the CHOP warlord story, Diana Manning, this is all in civil court. Where the heck are the criminal charges? I don't know why criminal charges were never filed. I mean, basically, Seattle police had said they didn't know if they had enough evidence to support the claims. But obviously, the standard is lower in a civil case than it is in a criminal case. But I think that the main thing is the city was hearing in 2017 that this guy was an accused sex trafficker. They still gave him money. They still invited him to City Hall to meet with the mayor and the chief. I mean, it's wild. And it's because, you know, virtue signaling. Mad Mitch, the warlord cried like a baby when he was arrested. Of course, tough ones always do. When he's in there, he's got his gun. He's sitting on his car telling people, yeah, if we get in a shootout, oh, hide behind the tire and the engine block. Somebody's watched too many movies. I mean, that's not a bad idea with the engine block, but still watch too many movies. It's just like, what did you think you were getting into? Chris Lundstrom, I wonder where they got the guns from. I can't see anyone who legally owns firearms just handing them out. 100%. 100%. And we don't know if the guns that he handed out were used by the CHOP security guards who shot the teenagers. I don't know if we'll ever know that. That case hasn't even been solved, which is wild. All the cameras in that area, all the police surveillance that were in that area, during the entirety of CHOP, and you're telling me you don't know who shot those teenagers? Give me a break. But you're right. If you bought a bunch of rifles, you owned them, you're not going to give them out to some stranger on the street. Because then if you own it legally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to buy it in the state of Washington around that time, I think it would be, unless somebody, you know, did a transfer to you, there would be some sort of paper trail that it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut tells me stolen, something, right? It's like, come on. But Bob can't say anything about it. While his key legislative agenda was banning those weapons, nothing to say. Mm-hmm. Ted Fredericks, I wonder how the $83,000 was spent. Is there even a studio? And did it benefit the Black community? I can tell you that it definitely didn't benefit anyone in the Black community except him. But I don't know if a studio was made. Paulina Finn, and also, well, I guess a recording studio is probably a little more tech-driven than ours. But $83,000, I mean, yeah, ground up, I guess $83,000 would probably cost you that. Paulina Finn, I just want to point out that it is a felony under Washington statute to hand over firearms like this, which, as far as I'm aware, he hasn't been charged for. Yeah, he's never been charged with anything criminal related to CHOP. He's literally on, and mm-hmm. it, not just on camera, that's his own stream.
Right.
He has, so you don't see the beginning of it, but this woman's following him and he's talking to the camera. This is like a walk and talk, knew he was being recorded, very obviously thing. He was very proud of it.
Also knew he could get away with it.
Starbucks opening a second HQ in Tennessee, Little Miss J. For decades, people have been fleeing from communist countries. Now they flee from cities with communist ideology. Right. Yeah, still the same thing. AB Daddy, Boeing is going to be the one to turn off the lights when they leave. Yeah. Nana Banana, she says it's her hometown, but it's not. It's Starbucks' hometown. Duh. Yeah.
True story.
Wait, does she say that in that clip?
I'm not sure if she's referring to the hometown of Starbucks or its hometown or our hometown.
Our hometown. She's from New York State.
Yeah.
Jules J, Seattle is going to be like a scene from I Am Legend. Yes.
Yeah.
Bob Detroit. Claiming the income tax might have to wait. Give me a break. Now, look, feel free to clip this if I'm wrong. But he just did this last year. Give me a break.
And the Dems are already calling his bluff. I mean, they're not shy about it.
Yeah, they're not. They know what's going on. They're going to get sick of him always setting them up to look like the bad guys.
Yeah.
He's always setting himself up to look like their keeper. Like, to look like the one who's, oh, Like their father.
Yeah.
Oh, like a father figure.
Yeah.
The responsible one. I would get really sick of it. It's very condescending, if you ask me, the way that he treats them, and they just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Old Sub Sailor, it's all the far left's plan, and Seattle isn't alone. It's nationwide. Force the corporations and working people of Washington out, and the remaining move into the cities.
Destruction.
Tammy, Washington is going to become a ghost state because of Ferguson's big ideas. No reasonable adult here running this state. I agree. On the state ratcheting up its fight against me and Ari and Jonathan. So annoying. Big Princess, Brandy, how much longer should we hold out and fight for a Washington that is slipping away faster and faster? I don't know.
It does get scary. You worry about home values going down. Mm-hmm. You worry about just everything, all that, mm-hmm. all everything we've put into it.
Yeah, it's hard when you try to move a little further away from the crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of Seattle, and then Seattle follows you everywhere you go. You know, now all of a sudden the state policies are driven by what's happening in Seattle, and you can't get away. You can try to leave King County, and then it just follows you, and you can be in the deepest red place in the state, and you still have Governor Bob Ferguson as your governor. You still have Nick Brown as your AG, mm-hmm. and you still have those asshats in Olympia who push through any idea that pops in their brain in the middle of the night.
It's kind of like playing the stock market, though. If you were going to try to predict something, you'd probably pull your money right now.
So yes.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is really scary, like, for sure.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, I think that there's a good argument to be made if people can afford it to do a dual sort of residency sort of situation. I'd be lying if Mike and I weren't contemplating it for retirement. But, like, obviously my business is here. You know, Mike's job is here, so we're not leaving right now. Chuck Heller, I'm up for a steak dinner with the Undivided crew. I'd love to have a steak dinner with you guys. I just don't think I could pay for all of your steak dinners if I'm wrong. But, you know... I'll maybe be there.
And to be clear, I do think we should keep the pressure on. You said,
oh yes, 100%.
You said something about you know, keep up the pressure, but that's not right. Going to do anything. But keep up the pressure.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue to point out all the dangerous things that will happen.
Right.
But when you put yourself out there like this to try to push a policy that's not only unconstitutional but it's deeply unpopular among the electorate, but you push it, make it this key thing for the legislative session, and then kind of withdraw at the last minute, it makes you look incredibly weak and dumb. I just don't think that they're going to do that. And mm-hmm. And the reason I'm so skeptical is he did the same thing last year.
Well, the Democrats are definitely not going to do it.
No.
Bob could come in, try to act like a hero at some point,
right.
I guess.
Veto but, something. Or,
but at
yeah.
the same time, these businesses, like these writing this letter about AI, where is the mm. individual people that are saying, I'm going to take my business? Where was you
yeah.
know, Howard Schultz
yeah.
or whatever saying, right. we're going to move Starbucks? Like, these people are not speaking up.
No, they just sort of, right, until it's too late, they just sort of sit and take it. They even support Democratic politicians, you know, speak out against Trump and spend more time doing that. And then their businesses are ruined and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, I guess I'll go somewhere else. And you didn't fight at all. Yeah, horrible.
Doesn't work.
All right. Mm-hmm. Nicole, thank you. We'll get to our closing sanity check in a moment. First, our friends at First Mark Insurance are the call you should make if you need to save some money as a family. I think insurance is a really good place to look for cost savings. We all need it. And you don't want to cheap out on insurance because we've worked hard for everything we have. You want to protect it. But having a company who can do all the hard work, make sure you have the insurance you need, make sure that you have the insurance you need at the right price. And they can do this for your home or business, by the way. I use First Mark for Mike and I's insurance and for Undivided as well. And we just love it. They're so proactive and they do a really great job at explaining the coverage you need, the coverage you don't need, the cost and benefits of different plans. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Join hundreds of members of the Undivided family who have also become members of the First Mark family. firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right. So Democrats are still trying to hold up DHS funding, which, of course, doesn't do anything about ICE. We've already discussed this. And even John Fetterman has said ICE is already funded. Trump was smart. He put that in the big, beautiful bill. And now you're just holding up funding for, like, the Coast Guard and holding up funding for extra security for the World Cup and making federal workers work without pay. But Democrats, they're just not going to let this go. During a press conference yesterday, Senator Patty Murray of our state said she's not funding ICE while Trump's in a war.
Congress should end this war now. Republicans should grow a spine and vote with Democrats in support of the War Powers Resolution. But instead, some Republicans are now trying to use Trump's reckless war of choice in Iran as a new pretext to completely ignore Donald Trump's reckless occupation of American cities with rogue ICE agents. Look, I'm not going to vote to fund ICE and let them detain, brutalize, shoot, or kill more American citizens just because Donald Trump started an unconstitutional war that no one asked for. Trump's war will easily cost more than it would have cost to extend the ACA tax credits. This president and this Republican Congress have shown the American people there's always money for war, there's always money for billionaire tax breaks. It is just everyday Americans who are struggling with their health care or groceries who Republicans just can't spare a dime.
Wow, none of that had anything to do with each other. That was the most nonsensical, rambling thing I've ever heard. Thank you, Patty Murray. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. We got a busy show already stacked up for tomorrow with some key interviews. And so we'll have a good show to drive the week home. If you'd like to support our show, you can do that for just $5 a month. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Gosh, what else? You can shop our merch store while you're there. We got some bumper stickers, some tote bags, some hats. You know, just let your freak flag fly. Common sense flag fly. See you back here, same time, same place, tomorrow at noon.